Almost as shocking as the resurrection itself is who Jesus appeared to first and told that person to proclaim the good news to the apostles, Mary Magdalene. In Genesis, God talks about how man and woman are created equal, meant to be co-heirs to heaven. But because of sin, this inequality between men and women had come about. And so that in ancient times, at this time in Judea, a woman was not even considered a reliable witness in court. You couldn't base testimony on what a woman by herself said. So for Christ to say that you're the one person who's going to go to all the men and be the apostle to the apostles was truly a turning over the old order, which is what the resurrection of Jesus did. It turned over the natural order of sin into the supernatural life of grace. And Mary Magdalene was a natural choice. She had turned from sin in her life, and after her repentance, followed Christ faithfully, even standing at the foot of the cross with John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, when all others had abandoned him. She was that first witness, but not the only one. Jesus then appeared to the apostles, and then to the wider group of disciples, and then to 500 other followers. These men and women then proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Four separate Gospels tell us from different perspectives about the resurrection of Christ. Four historical documents. And then the dozens of eyewitnesses that saw Jesus rise were more willing to die terrible deaths, to leave everything behind, rather than to deny that truth that they had seen. People don't do that for a lie. We have more evidence of the resurrection of our Lord than we do for most historical events that we take for granted. Jesus was going to be just another crucified false Messiah. So many before him had claimed to be the Messiah, but when they were killed by Rome or by the Jews eventually, the disciples that they had built up scattered, went back to their lives, and never were heard from again. And this began to take place on Good Friday. The apostles scattered, didn't know what to do, and were ultimately probably going to go back to their lives. Something fundamentally changed, and that was the resurrection of our Lord. Jesus is risen, and the gates of heaven are open to us. But to get through that narrow gate of heaven, we have demands that are placed upon us, demands that Jesus himself shows the way to fulfill. When the rich young man came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how am I to be saved?" The Lord did not tell him, "Just believe, just try to be the best person you can be." He said, "No, follow the commandments." And the young man said, "I've already followed all the commandments from my birth." And then Jesus said, "Then sell everything you have, then come and follow me." Not that having those possessions is bad in itself. But Jesus could read that young man's heart and knew that the one thing that was keeping him from being worthy of the kingdom of heaven was his attachment to those possessions. And the rich man went away sad, and we don't even know his name. Jesus makes demands upon us. He tells us to every day pick up our cross and follow him. That's every day of our lives. Not just a few days, not just when we're feeling good about the faith, but every day, in good times and in bad. And that picking up the cross does require sacrifice, same kind of sacrifice that Christ showed us. And that makes sense. Our whole life is an exchange of sacrifice for gain. People go and spend hours in the gym in exchange for a healthy body. People study for years to gain an academic degree. People work tirelessly to build up a business or a career in exchange for financial prosperity. These are paltry gifts compared to the great gift of heaven. That's what Christ gives us when we make that sacrifice for him, when we pick up our cross daily and follow him. In the movie that just came out about St. Paul, Father Saunders and I went to see it, and there's a scene where St. Paul is talking to the prefect of the prison. And he talks about being out at sea, so far out at sea that you can't see land anywhere around you. And you reach down into the sea and you pull up water, and it's cupped in your hand for just a moment. But no matter how hard you try to hold on to that cup full of water, it goes through your fingers and disappears. That's life. That's our natural life, which at every moment is slipping through our fingers. And we put so much into that fleeting life, and we leave behind the entire infinite ocean around us. It'll seem very foolish on our last day when we think about the things that we let get between us and that eternity. And all of us have it, just like that rich young man, it was his possessions. Perhaps that's the same for some of us. Or is it career advancement, or particular activities that we enjoy, a dream vacation, the house that we've always wanted, or just laziness? Whatever it is that keeps us from Christ on a daily basis has to be gotten rid of. Christ wants us to have a great life, to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy the activities that we do. But we can't make those things our God. When we have our life properly ordered, that everything is a gift from God, and we give that gift back to Him, then everything that we enjoy in this life becomes a deeper fulfillment. But more important, after this life is over, which is fleeting, we have access to the heavenly gifts because of today's resurrection. We have to make a decision. The water is running through our hands, and now is the time to turn back to Him. And we have great hope, because there was another group when Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus on the road, and those were the apostles, the ones who, like us so many times, ran away from Him, misunderstood Him, and made Him second, third, or fourth in their life. But Jesus, because they turned back to Him, forgave them and let them begin anew, and they did. Nothing in their life was the same after they encountered the risen Christ. They lived every day for Him. They had many joys, they had some sorrows, and ultimately they died for Christ. But they had that great joy that has gone on for all eternity and will continue to go on. No matter where you find yourself this morning, there is time to share in Christ's victory. So let us all turn to Him, pick up our cross, and follow our risen Master.